You know, when you first start in your sport, everybody wants to be the greatest. But then life hits and things happen and your dreams shift.
For me, it's really important to have a deep-rooted why. And for me personally, it's my faith.
I think vulnerability is like super important. Like I'm like constantly in a state of like trying to learn more.
You probably have a strong athletic identity, right? And it's really easy as we become more and more elite to view our sense of worth from our performance. But ultimately, it's not who you are, it's something you do.
Hi guys, I'm Davey Jags. I'm an entrepreneur, writer, and activist, and this is Sparkle On. Sparkle is your happiness, passion, and self-worth. Sometimes your sparkle can be dimmed by life's events, but this podcast is all about reclaiming, discovering, and urging people to sparkle. I'm really excited to be here at the University of Southern California today talking to its student athletes. As a former student athlete, this is really important for me to talk to this community. So ultimately, when I was a sophomore, a motivational speaker came to speak to us as student athletes. He expressed that going through the college to professional level and ultimately getting hurt, he was actually experiencing suicide ideation, depression, and anxiety. Back in 2016, this was not as commonly talked about as it is now, but I was a student athlete that was absolutely struggling. He made us do this crazy prompt where he was like, stand up if you have felt this way when you looked in the mirror, stand up for this, stand up for that. And I remember every single prompt I should have stood up. But I was actually worried about my crush who was sitting next to me and revealing this vulnerable part about myself. And now I am seeing communities like USC talk about these things more and more and more, seeing less barriers and access in the athletic world to mental health. That doesn't mean it's perfect, but it is different. And so today, Exposition SC had me come and speak with an extraordinary group on student wellness, its resources, and really how to be a support system to your teammates and peers. So thank you for joining the Sparkle On podcast and helping me ignite the future where passion equals purpose and purpose equals change. Today, we have a bunch of amazing guests. Thanks for letting me be part of this. We have Bryce Brock from USC Track, and he is a 100-meter and 200-meter sprinter. But along with being a student athlete, he's also a musician and producer and very involved on campus as part of the United Black Student Athlete Association Infinity Group and the USC NAACP voting chapter. So thank you for being here. And then we have Julia Scholes, who is a professional beach volleyball player. Julia has amazing insight on what it's not only like to be a student, but also compete for Team USA, and really just help other people, you know, take care of themselves physically and mentally. We have Claudia Shevitz, who is a senior from USC women's lacrosse team. She is also a peer educator for the USC Athletic Department and the Jedi Group. She has been on the Pac-12 Academic Honor Roll throughout each season of her career and is a Dean's List Scholar for each semester of college. And then we also have Dr. Robbie Rhodes, who is a clinical sports psychologist at USC Athletics. So I know that you work very closely with a lot of teams here, specializing in student-athlete mental health, injury recovery, which we'll touch upon today, anger management, mindfulness, and ADHD. So thank you, everyone, for being here. And I basically wanted to get started kind of talking about where your origin started with either the sport or when you really noticed how mental wellness impacted either your races, games, competitions. Was there a particular point in time where you noticed it positively or negatively?
I guess my journey with sports was almost accidental. My father was a football coach, went semi-pro, And then he moved to California, and just sports was just something that was like integral to our family. My sister went into every sport. She started with tennis, volleyball. And so in an aim of trying to be better than my sister, because it was just always a sibling rivalry, I stepped into sports to kind of like make my dad happy. So I went into football first. And I guess my journey with mental health started there in high school. I remember getting taped up one day, and it was just a regular like warm up. This is before I even touched track. And I'm getting ready to like catch the ball for punt return, and I have to throw up. And I'm like, what's going on? Like, it's a normal day, normal practice. Came from like a regular day at school, and like I actually had to throw up. And I remember like walking off, and I was like, oh, like you're nervous. Like, this is anxiety. And I had never even like heard that word and like talked to myself about that. And so that's the first time that I really started to encounter like, okay, like there's the physical aspect with sport, but like even more importantly, like there's the mental health aspect. And so when I touched into track, I noticed that like it exacerbated even more because it's such an individualized sport. And so I kind of noticed that like my routine definitely had to incorporate mental health. So I think from then on, like starting in high school is when I started to become more aware of it.
Yeah, similar. I started sports at a very early age, and I gravitated towards pretty much all of them. And sports were something that came naturally to me, and I really struggled in the classroom. And I also have ADHD, so I almost felt a safe space in the sport. And so as I continued to progress in athletics, it became my identity and how I viewed myself. And when I did well, I felt an inflated sense of pride. And when I performed poorly, I felt kind of crushed and questioned my self-worth. And I truly used sport to define me. And then I went to college for indoor volleyball and then had a series of super serious concussions. And beach volleyball is a lot safer alternative. And so that whole encounter with A, the injury, and then B, just how I related to my sport radically transformed navigating to beach volleyball. But it truly changed me. And after switching to beach volleyball, I thankfully have a totally different perspective and relationship to sport in a much healthier way. But it was definitely a rude awakening and a mental battle to get through. And I can touch more on this later, but that's just the basic overview.
Yeah, like Julia, I started playing sports from a super young age, originally soccer, and then transitioned into lacrosse as a second grader. I mean, I'm from Chicago, and lacrosse like isn't super popular in the Midwest. They have really good collegiate program out there, but besides that, it's typically like an East Coast dominated sport. So, you know, I didn't really feel a lot of pressure growing up in junior high and middle school from like, you know, parents, coaches, whatever that is, just because it wasn't as intense of an environment as maybe some of like my teammates kind of grew up in. When I reached junior high, so 7th and 8th grade, that was kind of when I began going on more of like the national club circuit tournaments, and started to kind of get like emails from college coaches and whatnot. And suddenly this game that I like played really just to have fun and be with my friends and happened to be pretty good at too, turned into just like a totally different game for me. I think like that was really the first time that the mental aspect of it kind of clicked in for me, where it was all like, okay, well, if you play well in this game at this tournament, you know, there's X, Y, and Z colleges sitting on the sideline, and, you know, you start to get kind of in your head hearing maybe if, like, other teammates are getting reached out by, you know, college coaches. And, yeah, like, that comparison game definitely started, like, catching up to me. And then kind of, as I mentioned before, like the Midwest not being like a super popular place to play lacrosse, you know, you also get kind of bogged down by the idea that you're not as good as some of the other players across the country. So that was definitely something that kind of affected me and my play. And that self-doubt was definitely like in my head, more so when I played club than high school, because it was more of those kind of national-based tournaments. But yeah, I think throughout college, like the resources have been super great and super helpful. Went through some like struggles here and there throughout the 4 years here, but talk about that more later, I guess.
Yeah. I'll spare you the long, drawn-out version and give you the short version. So essentially for me, from an early age, I was very passionate about sport to a fault, I think, and I became too emotional in different moments. I was a hothead. I was, it sort of fluctuated throughout my early years. And what I didn't recognize at the time is I didn't really have the mental tools or the emotional maturity to really navigate successfully some of the spaces that I was in. And I self-sabotaged, I made bad decisions, all easy to sort of see and point out in hindsight. And it wasn't until I learned about sports psychology, which I didn't know was a thing growing up, that it sort of clicked for me. I was like, okay, that I needed that. Like, I need that. Like, that's part of why I'm struggling. I don't have an outlet. I don't have somebody to talk to about this. I didn't really recognize some of the decisions that I was making and how that was impacting me. And so sort of from that moment, I kind of dedicated myself. I was like, okay, I didn't have that, but I want to make sure that there's somebody that can do that for others. Like, I want to show up for others in that way. And so kind of from that moment on, through undergrad, grad school, the whole journey, pursued sports psychology to be in an athletic space at a university, to hopefully in some capacity help others better navigate situations that I struggled in and didn't navigate successfully myself.
Yeah, so I find it really interesting that each of us kind of touched upon different intersections of, you know, the sports world. As athletes, routine is a really important part of, I'm assuming, everyone's life here. And I think that's really integral to success. But you spoke about anxiety, Bryce, and Julia, you spoke about how a sport became your identity. And then Claudia, you also spoke about kind of like this imposter syndrome. And Robbie, when with your work as a former athlete, but with student athletes now, how are we also implementing students to really understand adaptability for athletes to kind of also embrace that? I know when I was an athlete, you know, you can't control lightning, but if you have a race and lightning strikes 10 minutes when you're already warmed up, ready to go, you don't have control of that. So how can we practice that, not just as athletes, but also as people?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, the whole healthy person is going to ultimately be the best student athlete. And so learning to navigate, you know, just life stressors in general and being adaptable to, you know, the circumstances that you face in your everyday life, to me, is performance enhancing, even if it has nothing to do with your sport. And so I think holistically as a society, I think we're doing a better job of speaking openly and being honest about our mental health from an earlier age. I think we're putting resources in place to sort of help accessibility for services. It normalizes, having the space to talk about these things. So in terms of adaptability, I think as each person up here can attest to, in the world of sport, if you're not adaptable, if you're not adapting in real time, you're going to struggle, because sport is not static. Sport is not something that just stays consistent the entire time. There's ebbs and flows to a practice, to a weightlifting session, to a game, to a month, to a season. And it's less, in my opinion, it's less about what happens to us and more about how we react and handle and respond to the things that we face. It doesn't mean we're not allowed to have an emotional response to it or struggle with it or have tough days, but the better we can get at sort of recognizing how a situation is impacting us, what we need to navigate it, and then take steps to sort of, you know, try to get support or handle it in a way that's productive, the better we're going to perform, the better lives we're going to lead, and just the better we're going to handle the ups and downs that, you know, being a college student athlete can throw at us.
Julia, I'm sure you can also speak to this coming from the college level and then going into the professional world. Like, what are ways that you practice this daily, especially through your injuries that you mentioned?
Yeah, I think for me, it's really important to have a deep-rooted why and something outside of the sport. And for me personally, it's my faith. And I've developed that over the years. And have such a strong faith in Jesus Christ and Him as Lord and Savior of my life, and that has put everything in my sport in perspective and allows me to view my trials and view the adversity as opportunities to grow and opportunities to be refined. And I think that life is a challenge regardless of your beliefs, and when you know that there's going to be good that comes from every challenge you go through, that's a hope that I cling to, and knowing that, like Romans 8:28 says, God works all things together for the good of those who love Him. And so I trust that even in the midst of something that's really hard and really scary, or I have a lot of fear, that God is going to work it for good. And I've seen that in my life time and time again. So when I'm about to go through a storm, I'm like, all right, God, let's see the good that's going to come from this. And so it was not always that perspective. It was always like, why me, why me? Or like, why is this happening? Why is this suffering? But knowing that it can be used for a tool is something that definitely helps me face adversity and navigate it.
No, I appreciate you saying that. I feel like that's not talked about enough. I was raised Hindu. I was also raised Catholic. I was a very confused child growing up. I also went to a Jesuit university. And so firsthand, I actually saw, particularly my teammates, that really relied on faith in their performance. And I think as I leaned more into advocacy work, so I do a lot of advocacy work around Title IX and abuse in sports, so that crosses a lot of intersections of mental health. And one of the things I noticed on being on a Jesuit university was that sometimes student survivors would actually lose a connection to their faith. And so what I prompted like the Center of Faith and Justice program to do was implement programming where we can utilize faith to either come back to our sport, or, you know, if it's just regular students, not just student athletes, how that can guide us. So whether it's faith, whether it's music, art, what are ways as students you guys are finding essentially your purpose to help you guide your performance and I guess your academic careers?
You know, I think I really just found my why a few weeks ago. It's interesting to explore, because I don't think a why is permanent, nor do I think it's something that you can, it's something to rely on, but I also think it moves and it shifts, because, you know, when you first start in your sport, everybody wants to be the greatest. We all step in our sport. We either want to be an Olympic champion, you want to go to the NFL, you want to, you know, be a gold medalist, but then life hits and things happen and your dreams shift, you experience people, you fall in love, you get out of love, like you, things happen. And so I think your why shifts. And so I think if you're consistently exploring yourself, I think you can bring the best self to your sport, and understanding that you're not going to be the same person stepping to the line every time. You're not going to be the same person at practice every day, because we're constantly shifting, we're constantly evolving, and that's where the real work is. It's the real work isn't you running around the track. It's not you doing laps in the pool, but it's actually you discovering and understanding yourself. And I was walking around here like with a chicken with his head cut off. I didn't know what I wanted to do. I didn't know where I wanted to go. And that permeated within my sport. You know, 2 weeks I'd be grinding on the track, hitting my times, and then the next week, like, I truly did not care. And I think that fluctuation was really just communicating the fact that I wasn't still and grounded in who I wanted to be. And so I finally decided, I said, you know, like, I want to pursue art. That's something I want to do. And that avenue is very scary. Same with sports. But I also understood that I was in a position at USC presently where if I pour into my sport, that pours into the other areas of my life that I want to pursue. And so I think understanding that now in this present time, that's my why. I'm attacking that and I'm chasing that. And I'm sure in 2 or 3 years, my why will shift. I'll live more life. I'll experience new things. But just constantly reintroducing yourself to yourself, because we're new people every day. And so just take the time to, like, love on yourself, care for yourself, and explore yourself, and you'll probably be the best athlete that you've ever been, because we're new every day.
Claudia, can you speak to that?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely couldn't agree with Bryce more. Like, I think that for me, like, my why has definitely shifted over the years. And I do think, kind of going off of his point, that I really do think I am kind of in a constant pursuit of, like, trying to be the best version of myself. But for me, these past 4 years, like, my why has been my team and my teammates and my family. Lucky enough for me, like, my teammates also are all my best friends. Like, the fact that so many of them, like, came here today is just, like, means the world to me, and like, constantly just show up for me every single day, like, the good and the bad, and, you know, like, I hope I do my best to, like, show up for them and whatever I can do. And I think that the one thing that I've learned in the past 4 years is that if you don't rely on the people around you to kind of help almost, like, make yourself be the best person you can be, then really, like, what are they almost there for? And, you know, like, we all have our ups and downs. Like, we're like sisters, so, you know, maybe a little bickering here and there. But for the most part, like, I would not be the person that I am today, like, graduating in a few short weeks without every single one of the girls that I've either played with and have graduated before me, or, like, the freshmen this year who will be kind of the last people on my way out. And I think my family, too, like, keeps me super grounded in all of these things. Like, I call my mom and my dad, like, literally 5 times a week, and sometimes they're like, all right, like, what's up? And I'm just like, oh, nothing, just wanted to say hey. And they're like, okay. And I have 2 sisters as well. One of them is a freshman. She's playing lacrosse at Arizona State, and, you know, she's dealt with, like, her own series of injuries this year too, which is tough for her. But I think, like, being able to pass on, like, everything that I've learned from my career to her has kind of helped me realize, like, why I play the sport that I do and why I, like, show up every single day is just to constantly, like, be the best person I can be so that I can feel the most secure in my relationships around me. Because, yeah, like, you're really no one without the people around you and the support that they give you and the support that you give them. And, yeah, I guess my why is my relationships with the people around me and with myself. And I think that's also, again, going off of Bryce's point, like, the way that you show love to yourself is how you show love to other people and how other people show love to you. And I think that's something that's, like, definitely guided me through the past, like, few years for sure.
Yeah, that's really important, especially, like, on a college campus. If you're far away from home, you said you're from Chicago. Robbie, how do you see some of these student athletes either practicing their why or this disconnect from their why? One of my track coaches at Xavier, he said, I don't coach athletes, I coach people. And it always stuck with me. I was wondering if you could speak more to that.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, your track coach sounds like they were spot on with their perception. So I think everybody's hitting on some really awesome points. Identity, I think, is probably the biggest thing that comes to mind for me. If you're in this room as a student athlete at a, you know, high-level Division I institution like ours, you probably have a strong athletic identity, right? Being an athlete is probably pretty core to how you see yourself, how you talk about yourself, what, you know, feels important to you. And it's easy to slip into this sort of narrative of, like, I'm a blank. You know, I'm a track athlete. I'm a volleyball player. I'm a lacrosse player. Whatever it might be, and recognizing, it sounds so cliche in certain ways, but recognizing that you're not your sport. Your sport is something you do. And if you're at this level, it's something you do all the time, right? You're pouring in hours in the weight room, in the training room, at practice, watching film, meetings with coaches. You might live with, you know, teammates, right? And spend a lot of time. So it takes up a lot of your time, but ultimately it's not who you are. It's something you do. Right? And with this athletic identity idea, we fuse sometimes with that sense of self. So then if we don't do well in our sport on a particular day, particular game, particular meet, whatever it might be, right, that hits core to us. And it's really easy as we become more and more elite to view our sense of worth from our performance because of that kind of fused athletic identity. And so coming back to your question, I think some of the ways that we try to help student athletes navigate this a little bit better is recognizing how to decouple your sense of self from your sport. You know, your why is always going to be changing, right? Or it might be consistent in terms of the relationships with other people. But the better you can recognize, not to be overly philosophical, but, like, you're you, right? And your sport is something that you do. If sport doesn't go well that day, you can still invest in being a good friend, right? A good son or daughter, a good student, right? Investing in art or, you know, religion or whatever it might be, or the relationships you have. And it helps you, I think, navigate the ups and downs of athletic, you know, the athletic roller coaster that we're all on, So yeah, coming back to this idea of athletic identity and really trying to help people recognize that you can unfuse from that and put forth value into who you are as a person and less so into the performance, it actually helps you, ironically enough, perform better and more consistently over time.
Julia, I know you talked about this a little bit, but since you are a professional player, how do you practice this and making sure that you have hobbies and things that you can pursue outside of your sport?
Yeah, I think you summarized it so well. And something that I had a revelation of 2 or 3 years ago is that this concept of identity and us being attached to our sport, but like what makes us good at our sport, right? We're hard workers, we're consistent, we're loyal, we're good teammates. Like all of those that encompass and make you the athlete you are tied to the person that you are too. So that's an easier way to separate them. And for me, when, yeah, my profession is my income, and how I do depends on how I'm able to financially support myself. There's definitely a greater weight to that, but also to know, like, I love the sport that I play. Like, it is such a joy to play beach volleyball, and there are challenges, but ultimately, like, it is out of love and joy and just the community and the relationships. And so there will come a day where I will have to retire and where it's not feasible to play professionally and to make wise decisions. I know if I'm not making money, does it make sense to continue? But to know that right now it is feasible and it is part of my identity, but not my identity. I'm in this community. I can show up and make a difference in relationships and friendships. And I am such a firm believer in looking back and grabbing the girl's hand behind you. So I mentor a few girls in high school and I'm like really close with them and I have dinner at their family's house. And it's just like so much more than a sport and how you do in a performance, but it's a way of life and how do you integrate who you are in all facets. So like my church community, my friendships, my roommates, there's just so many different parts that are outside the game that the game blesses you with, and to just pour more into those parts that the game blesses you with, and not just what happens on the court.
That's really important. Bryce, I know before this panel we were actually talking about mentorship. And as student leaders, Claudia and Bryce, like, how are you guys either having these conversations with your teammates, your friends? Like you said a couple weeks ago, you're like, you're hitting all your times on the track and sometimes it fluctuates. So not only are you having those conversations with your teammates, but how are you having those, how are those people having those conversations with you?
I think for me as an athlete, I try to operate in sincere vulnerability everywhere I go.
Wow.
I think that's a deep question, and I think it's complex. I think for other people, I think just being present is exceptionally important, and I struggle with this, and my friends are all sitting in the front, and like I'll give them a dissertation 24/7. My foot hurts. Okay, well, your foot hurts because you didn't do this, but you can do this, and it's like sometimes just being present and offering your spirit instead of your words is really, really important, and understanding that just creating a space of love and acceptance and acknowledgement is far more important sometimes than just telling people about themselves. Because I think oftentimes the answers are within ourselves. I think we understand things to a higher degree than we give ourselves credit for. And so I think just offering a space for people to think and just feel is important. But I think as an athlete, when you operate in vulnerability, it gives way for other people to operate in vulnerability. And in track and field, it's exceptionally important because it's such a vulnerable sport. And this is, I'm gonna speak a little bit, so just shut me up when it's time. But I think that, you know, as athletes, we're deeply, deeply arrogant, right? And I think that we've been taught that the word arrogance is to have this idea of overconfidence, right? But it's exceptionally arrogant to think that we've ever had control, right? We train, we eat properly, we sleep, we do all the little things to convince ourselves that we actually have control over what we're doing. We think that, okay, because I did this on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, that come Saturday, that's gonna be the perfect race, right? But I'm a very religious person as well. And it's understanding that there is a bigger plan, right? And there are those beautiful moments where our plan aligns with His plan, but there's also the moments where our plan doesn't align with His plan, right? And so being like water, understanding that you gain control by losing control is really important, right? So to circle back to the question, I get hurt 24/7, things don't go my way 24/7, and I have moments where I crash out, things don't go my way and I'm upset, but honesty is important, and allowing people to see you for you allows them to be themselves, so.
That water metaphor, that was pretty powerful, Bryce.
For me, I guess, in terms of being open, I think vulnerability, as Bryce said, I'm literally just taking everything you said. You're great. I think vulnerability is like super important. And then one thing that like I do and like how I carry myself on a day-to-day basis is like I know that like even at my best, like I'm never good enough to not learn something. Like I'm like constantly in a state of like trying to learn more, whether that's on the field. Like I'm a senior now, I've been playing since like second grade, but like I have 3 months left of my career and I'm still trying to learn from my coaches, from the girls around me, from watching other games and things like that. And I think that's like a really great way to carry yourself, because it does, as Julia said, like all these attributes like carry forward off the field and off the court and off the track, you know, because when you're constantly in a state of curiosity and like wanting to learn more, I think it just opens you up to a world of perspectives and opportunities that you just never would have thought about before. Like even some of the freshmen who came in this year, like I feel like so many of them have like taught me things that like they wouldn't even know they've taught me, but you know, I could sit down and like make a list of things that I've learned from them. And really everyone in the athletic department, I think that we're like really lucky and fortunate enough to be in such like a diverse space with so many different sports and so many different athletes going through really so many different experiences, but at the end of the day, like sharing so many as well. And I think that it's really important to have gratitude for that and like take that with you as a positive thing. And a really awesome like opportunity that we get to have here at USC and just such an amazing place. So yeah.
It's almost like relinquishing ego could arguably help performance. And Robbie, I'm wondering how, because there is kind of this culture in athletic environments, sports environments, that glorifies you know, hard work and not listening to your body and, you know, kind of this glory that comes with, you know, winning. But is it sustainable? I guess you guys are amazing student leaders that are maybe teaching your peers that. But Robbie, can you speak more to how maybe a student that's struggling with that either comes to you or other sports psychiatrists on campus and what that process looks like in getting help?
The process of them coming in.
Yeah.
So a humble brag moment. We have the biggest department of its kind in the country in terms of a sports psychology department embedded within an athletic department. And so I think we're blessed to have our foot in the door here for 20 plus years and have that established relationship with all of our teams, all of our coaches. And so I think generally speaking, the stigma here, I hope this feels fair for everyone, but I feel like the stigma here is like less than potentially other schools because of that, because we're sort of put up with athletic medicine, strength and conditioning, our dietitians as just one of the many resources. And so I think the barrier to entry, I think, is hopefully lower. If you disagree with that, please let me know how we can better help. But to the question, how it typically works, I would say, you know, most of the athletes that come in are self-referred in terms of them reaching out to us. Some are mandated by coaches for whatever reason. That's a very, very small percentage. And even of the, you know, percentage that comes in self-referred, I think a lot are just trying to get better. It's not necessarily that, you know, I'm in dire straits, I'm, you know, severely depressed or highly, highly anxious. Many come in, you know, having very, very normal adjustment issues, relationship challenges, whatever it might be. And they will reach out to us and come in and, you know, we'll try to find a time to meet with them. We usually meet within the week. And like I said, we have the biggest department of its kind in the country, so we have a lot of clinicians. And I'm losing the question that you originally asked because I'm rambling, but...
We talked a little bit about how relinquishing ego...
Thank you. I appreciate you. So what I was going to say, when you were talking about that, one of the books that I love and I recommend to athletes all the time is this book, Ego is the Enemy. And I think it really speaks to this idea of, you know, ego is not the same as confidence. I think Bryce was speaking to this before. And how confidence can come from within. And one of the things I tell a lot of my clients, a lot of people that I work with, is I'm not the expert on you. I may have some knowledge about sports psych, sport performance, mental health, but each of you, you know, is the expert on you. And I tend to think of working clinically with someone as walking alongside them. Like, you have everything you need to be successful already inside of you. The conversations we might have just might help kind of illuminate some of those things or help you gain clarity on those things. But I think everybody up here is successful, you know, maybe because of some coach's help, maybe because of a sports psych, whatever, but 99% of why you're up here is because of you and you allowing what is already inside you to come out.
I love that. Julia, can you speak to maybe how you've seen the landscape in getting help for mental health struggles has changed since you've been a student?
I know that USC was above and beyond in every department, and so we always were very well cared for. We had a team sports psych, and those were always very helpful. And then with Team USA, they have free psychologists, sports psychs, and so I definitely use those for resources, and I think it's awesome to be able to have people who are dedicated to helping you just understand your sport, understand yourself, understand performance, and just fleshing that out and building like a team around you, because I think the more we can include others and also have those conversations with teammates, maybe of what we learn in a session, the more we're all being uplifted and bettering our ability to mentally handle different challenges and things of our sport.
Bryce and Claudia, do you feel like there's a specific service that USC provides that you feel is something that you would recommend to teammates or other peers?
Yeah, I think I see a sports psych pretty regularly. Like, I have sessions with Dr. Nikki. I think that's important because, I mean, it's part of the sport. I think it's a part of growing. I think Claudia too, you might be able to answer this better. I'm only a sophomore, so yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I also see a sports psychiatrist as well, and that's been like super helpful for me. And then I guess like going back to your original question about like the landscape changing, I think just vulnerability in athletes' voices themselves, like making sure that, you know, if Bryce and I are on a team together and he's younger than me, I'm telling him like, hey, like this has been really great. Like maybe you're struggling and X, Y, and Z ways, this is what I did. I went to Robbie and he really helped me out, and just kind of destigmatizing, I guess, a lot of what goes on in the mental health landscape. And then another thing, again, another shout out to Robbie. A lot of the sports psych come and work with teams individually, and we call ours like our culture meetings. And so Robbie and another sports psych, KG, they'll come in and kind of help our team work through some things that maybe we're going through specifically, and then also do different sessions with like confidence training and like helping with the overall team camaraderie, team culture. So yeah, I would recommend that to every school across the country because it's definitely been really impactful for us and for myself.
No, that's amazing. And I don't know if it's common knowledge, but we're actually recording this whole thing as a live podcast and show. When I was a college student, I had a failed business. It's another story for another day. But it's called Sparkle On. And I define someone's sparkle as their happiness, passion, and self-worth. And so this podcast specifically is, I hope, is going to help others reclaim or discover their sparkle. And so I'm kind of going to put you guys a little bit on the spot here, but I want you guys all to think about this. Is what is one way that you are going to help another person, whether it's a friend or a stranger, discover or reclaim their sparkle in like the next month or so? Let's put a deadline on it, because maybe that'll just, you know, pressure makes diamonds. But what is one way you're going to help someone reclaim or discover their sparkle, their happiness, passion, and self-worth?
I think introducing people to love constantly on a daily basis. I think that in this world, we're operating in such a lack of love. I think we're so divisive and so polarized just because of the system that we operate in. It's just deadly. And so I think, again, just loving people, and I think just showering them with love, showering them with affection is just so important. And I think they'll figure it out. You know what I'm saying? Like, that kind of sounds crazy, but I think everybody knows what their sparkle is. Again, like, I'm a firm believer that we all have the answers within us. It's just about facilitating the space and creating the space so that you can derive those answers. So I will make an active effort to love more people.
I would say showing up. I think it's huge to invest in relationships and showing up in those spaces, and just really telling your friend, like, you're there for them through thick and thin, and there's gonna be hard and challenging times, but to provide encouragement and advice in life decision making, and just, yeah, be a good friend. And then sometimes it's hard truths too, so just walking alongside someone and knowing them well enough to speak into whatever they may be going through. And I think a good friend is invaluable, and what life I love. I think life is so much about relationships and who we impact and who impacts us, and just we're all in this together. And like you said, show love. And I think, yeah, show love, be a good friend, show up, and encourage.
Yeah, agree again with both their points. I would say too, like, even asking other people that question, like, I think just helping other people, like, find their purpose by just asking them, like, simple questions, like, okay, what's your thing? Like, what drives you? What's your purpose? And I think even asking those questions, like, sitting up here now, hearing those things, I'm like, okay, like, let me think about this. Like, this is good. I'm probably gonna be thinking about this for the next 5 days. Like, did I answer that right? Is that what I meant? And then kind of elaborating on that as well. Just like graduating this year, and like obviously I have a lot of friends graduating as well, whether that's student athletes or not. And I think it's definitely like a challenging time with a lot going on and a lot of people maybe like experiencing some of that self-doubt. So just continuing to show up for my friends and in that space and make sure that they know like how valued they are, even if they don't get a job right away or make X figures. So yeah, I guess that's what my plan is.
Yeah, I'd say role modeling authenticity and vulnerability. So trying to find your own spark and then not being afraid or shy to live that openly and proudly. I think when you see other people doing that, it sort of not gives you permission per se, but it maybe motivates you or helps uplift you to maybe take a step to kind of own something for yourself. And I think everybody up here is speaking to this idea of showing up. And I think one of the most overused questions that is also one of the most powerful is, how are you? I think we say that all, how are you? Good. How are you? Good. It's a pretty shallow conversation. But I think if we really invest in that question with somebody, like, no, like, how are you? And then actually give that person the space to tell you and not have a judgmental reaction, but just be there to listen to where they're at in that moment. I think helping people through just daily situations like that is one sort of tangible, I think, simple step that we could all do a better job, myself included, do a better job of to help people find their sparkle.
No, I really appreciate that. If there's anything that's coming out of this conversation, it's that tackling mental wellness, like, you can't do it alone. And it's really important for events like this and community to come together, groups like Exposition SC, to really foster this community that allows people to open up, be vulnerable, and sparkle on. So thank you, everyone, for coming. And thank you to USC for having us and having this important conversation.
Thank you.